Today we celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin, that she was assumed body and soul into heaven, that her body did not undergo corruption or decay. And this is a sign, and in the sense that the resurrection is a sign, this is a similar sign, like a miracle, that points to something. Miracles are these things that defy the laws of physics or biology or some natural law of the universe, and they point to the kingdom of God. The reason why we believe that Mary did not undergo, her body did not undergo physical decay, is there's a few reasons, and one of them is that this is from an ancient tradition that was it was a well-known thing in the church, that people understood this to be true, that they had handed this on, that she did not die. But also, we understand that this sort of a thing happens through Scripture. You probably all know Elijah. Elijah was assumed into heaven. He did not die. And Enoch was assumed into heaven. And these are in Scripture. I remember once asking one of my, I think it was a seminary professor, or maybe it was a college professor, said, "Why? How come we believe that Mary was assumed into heaven, even though it's not in the Bible?" And his response to me was, "Are you kidding? You think God's going to let Elijah and Enoch be assumed into heaven without dying, and he's not going to give that grace to his own mother? What's wrong with you?" I was like, "Oh, sorry. Done asking questions forever." But it occurred to me, that's kind of a profound... Yes. Thank you. Wow. These hands are consecrated, but I just totally dropped that cough drop. Okay. It's not breaking the fast if it's medicinal. Pardon me. Today's Mass is brought to you by Halls. cherry. Okay. And so I thought he made a pretty good point. Obviously, it stuck with me for a while. You know, Mary, God chose, the only person who got to choose his mother, Jesus, chose Mary, and his grace shone forth in her in a particular way. Okay, Mary's not God. She's not part of the Trinity. She's a creature, and she was saved by her son. You are saved, and I am saved by her son, and she is saved by her son. It is God's grace, but his grace poured into that woman. It shone forth so brilliantly that even in her, like the physical manifestation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was manifested in her in a way like it was with Enoch and Elijah, only cooler because she's Mary. And we know that it's cooler because God shows us that in the book of Revelation. We are not crowning Mary. We hear this. So Revelation 12, this was the first reading. "A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." We don't crown Mary. I know I said this at May crowning back in May. We do not crown her. God crowned her. We're just acknowledging what God has already done. Like, far be it from us to, you know, presume to put a crown on the head of the mother of Jesus. No, he did. He did. And the 12 stars, those represent the 12 tribes of Israel that she has by her sons. He has given her a share in his authority. So she has a share in his authority over the 12 tribes. Over Israel, and also the new Israel, the church, over God's people. There's a special authority that she has because Jesus has shared that with her. And as I recall saying in May, and wish to reiterate that, if she had such a prominent place, if Jesus gave her such a prominent place in ruling in his church, should she not have some sort of prominence in ruling in our hearts? Is there not something there for us to receive personally? We know that Jesus is Lord. There's no one replacing Jesus. And yet, is there some way in which she makes his lordship more powerful in our lives? Well, she can. She can. She can make it more powerful in our lives because of the way that she reveals her son, because of the way that she teaches us how to love him. And as I said, Mary is someone, she can teach us how to love Jesus in a way that only a woman can. Only a woman, we could only learn that from a woman because God uses human mediation. And so, far be it from us to elevate her beyond what God did, but I don't think that's really happening. We need to receive what God has given us in the Blessed Virgin, in our mother, who is this Queen Mother. As you may know, the Queen Mother in the ancient world was not the wife of the king. It was the mother of the king in the Middle East. And so she has this role of authority. And if that role of authority authentically is in our hearts, it's really there to reinforce the lordship of Jesus. And when I say lordship, I mean, Jesus is in charge. He's the one we look to for our decisions. We're living for him to receive his joy. You know, he's the one we answer to, right? That's what it is to have someone else as a Lord. That's what it is to be a believer in God, and particularly a Christian, is to say, I'm not God. I'm not Lord. I'm surrendering to Jesus as Lord. She helps us do that, to fall in love with him. And her place of prominence also has a lot to say to us in terms of it as an example. That what Mary does or did and what she, the way that she responded to God is an example for us. Obviously, I think a lot of the times what we talk about with Mary's example is when she said, when the angel Gabriel came to her and he said, you're gonna bear the Son of God. And she doesn't understand. She asks what this means, but she believes before she understands. The angel says, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. You're going to bear the Son of God. And Mary, not probably still fully understanding this, still says, be it done unto me according to thy word. That's a powerful thing to say. Really powerful thing to say. She's an example for us in that moment. Will we say the same thing to God? When God comes to us and asks of us much, more than we think that we can give, things that we don't even understand, why, what does that mean? Will we still say, be it done unto me according to thy word? But there's something else, another example that I want to point to today that Mary sets for us. And as she has this place in our hearts, it's not in competition with Jesus. It's not over and above Jesus. It's really to make his lordship more prominent. She has something to teach us about loving her son, and particularly in this gospel, about worshiping her son. I heard someone say, and I don't even know where I read this or heard this recently, you can't love someone if you don't know them. But once you know them, you can love them. You can't worship someone unless you love them. Or something, I suppose. And I found that to be profoundly true when you think about Mary. How does she teach us how to worship God? Because she loves Jesus. It's not possible for someone to love. She totally got the inside track on all of us, right? I mean, it's not like it's a competition, but if it was, we would have no chance. We would all lose. She's his mother, okay? But because of that special relationship and grace that she received, she's able to lead the way for us and to be an example of how to worship her son. So here's what she says. Her response to the Lord in this gospel My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She is rejoicing and delighting in God. Her soul is proclaiming His greatness and His goodness, His faithfulness. She talks about His faithfulness from generation to generation. There's a lot of gratitude in her words, but it's more than gratitude. It's worship. And that is perhaps the most important thing that we need to learn how to do better as Catholics. I mean, that's an arguable point, but what do we need to do? How do we lump ourselves all together as Catholics? I mean, I don't know, but because we all have different strengths and weaknesses in our own spiritual lives. But I think this is true. I'm going to just say it as though it is. Catholics need to be better at learning how to worship, simply to worship God. Even more than we need to learn how to listen to God and hear Him speak to us, which is super important. Even more than we need to lift our intentions up to the Lord with faith that He wants to answer and give what is good, which is super important. Even before all of that, the Lord wants to teach us how to worship. That's in fact what we're here to do at this Mass and every Mass, is worship God. But it's such a basic concept. It's so simple and basic that it's even hard to describe. And the word worship comes from worth-ship. You know, what is God worth? Of what is He worthy? And when we worship God from the depths of our soul, but all through our mouths and our voices and our decisions and our lives, but from the depths of our soul comes this statement, God, You are worthy. You are faithful. She says, holy is His name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She's acclaiming the worthiness of God, her soul delights in God. He's everything. He is all, and my soul magnifies Him. This is springing from the depths of her soul, and for ourselves to take a moment to recollect, why do I go to Mass? Or the other things that we do. But the first reason we're here is to worship God. It's not to get something out of Mass. Like, it's not to hear a great homily. We're Catholic. That's not why we're here. We're here to worship God. And what that means, it's like, I don't know if I could describe it. I struggle. But you know it when you're doing it. And when from the depths of your soul, whether your words come out or not, although it does help to use words, from the depths of your soul, when you are acclaiming God's worthiness, and you wake up in the morning and you say, God, You are worthy of every sacrifice that I might be able to offer You today, so that You would be known and loved, or so that You would be served in the poor, or so that You would be served in my family, whatever. Lord, You are worthy. And Lord, I just want to take a minute right now and tell You and direct all of my worship to You. We are worshiping beings. We are made to worship. If we don't worship God, we will worship someone or something else. But we see in our Blessed Mother the example, the leadership that she leads the way for us, gives the example for us to, from the depths of our soul, acclaim His goodness, His faithfulness, His holiness, and above all, His worthiness of all that we could offer Him. And then to offer Him our day. This we do in song, probably most easily. It's probably the easiest to worship in song, but it's not singing. It's what's springing from our souls. At this Mass, as we come before the Lord to receive Him in His body and blood, and and to give thanks, which is the root of the word Eucharist, to give thanks, we also come above all to worship him, because he is worthy of all that we have and all that we are.